Hey everyone, it's Chris Guillebeau here, and this is the question and answer session for Travel Ninja. First of all, thanks so much for getting the product and checking it out. By now, you should have downloaded or at least have access to the printed guide, which is an ebook form. And that guide is about 28 pages or so in the first published draft, and we're going to be adding to that over the next few weeks with some updates, just like we've done with all the other products so far. So please do send me your feedback and suggestions, and we'll add some more to that and send out the updates. And speaking of updates, hopefully you're also on the email list, and you should have received at least a confirmation message about that. And depending on when you're listening to this, you may have received a couple of other updates as well. But do please join the list. We don't sell anything on it. We just, provide free updates for the product. So I really want to help you become your own travel ninja. I've been fortunate to have had the chance to do a lot of traveling to more than 100 countries so far. And just in the past couple of years, I've probably been to about 50 of those countries. So I've really picked it up recently. I've taken, countless flights, been on just about every airline, had some really nice flights, in first class or upper class or business class. I've been in the back of the plane, many, many, many times. Same thing with lodging. I've stayed in the Intercontinental, the Hilton, the Marriott, the, top of the hotel or whatever, and I've also slept on the floor of the airport, many, many times in different countries, and stayed in, $5 a night hostels or campsites or whatever. So I've been fortunate to have a lot of different experiences. A lot of things have gone really well. I've also made a lot of mistakes, and I've paid for my mistakes, but I've learned through them. So, my whole philosophy of teaching is to try to teach, from a perspective of results, whether success or failure, here's what I did and here's how it worked for me. And hopefully you can avoid the mistakes and achieve successes of your own. So that's the goal. And I'm really excited about putting this audio session together because I get a lot of questions. When I first, said I was going to produce this product, Travel Ninja, I sent a few notices out to some of my email lists asking for general questions about travel, specifically intermediate and advanced questions. Also, I got some basic ones as well. And I received probably about 300 questions. There was a lot of overlap, so really it's probably like 25 to 50, major questions. And we probably won't get to all of them here, but I'm going to answer as many of them as I can in this session. And then, as I said, if you're on the update list, then you should be getting some more news soon. So the first thing, the most important thing I want to say is, in developing your own travel perspective, just remember that anything is possible. I realize the economy is dismal right now. It's certainly affected me. I know it's probably affected you and your family. I'm limited in some of the things I can do, but I'm still able to do the things that matter to me. And part of being a travel ninja is finding a way to creatively travel, in the midst of a declining economy. And to look on the bright side, in some cases, the declining economy makes certain things easier just because less people are traveling and airfares are going lower for the first time in a long time. So anyway, the best thing to do as you become your own travel ninja is to become comfortable with the strategies and the guide, and be on the lookout for new tactics because tactics change from time to time, but the general travel strategies remain constant. So let's look at a few of these questions here. First question came in a number of different ways, and the way this person has phrased it is, I spend hours searching sites that claim to have the lowest prices for flights or lodging. How can they each claim the lowest, when I have to spend hours searching to actually find what really is the lowest price? And a number of people asked variations of that, like, how come everybody says they have the lowest price? Why can't there just be one website, that I go to? Well, this, the answer is that this is part of travel hacking, basically. There really isn't one website as of right now. Even with all the, consolidation that's gone on, even with all of the meta search engines that claim to search, thousands of sites, really, it's still true that you can search different places and find, different information. So, at a certain point, there's kind of a cost-benefit analysis, that each of us goes through whenever we're looking for, our airfare reservation or a hotel or anything else that we're looking for online. You know, we can spend hours, or we can take the first thing that comes up, or we can most likely do something in between where we check a few different places. You know, we try to find the best thing, but we don't, you know, stress out over it too much. And for the most part, that's what I do. I mean, I do check with kayak.com. I mean, that's a very basic recommendation. Everyone is familiar with that, but that is where I start a lot of my, you know, travel searches. And then, depending on the results that I see there, I'm probably going to branch out and look for more specific resources, depending on exactly what I'm looking for. But, you know, I may just be satisfied with what I see, and I may just take it. And sometimes I've done that, and I've realized later, oh, I could have found this a little bit cheaper. Other times, you know, that the price has gone up, and so. You know, I guess it just comes down to how much time you're willing to spend. I think for most, you know, most travel reservations, like say you're going to make a fairly advanced reservation, it's going to be an international trip. You know, I think you can still check a number of sources, do a fair amount of research, and come to a decision within an hour. So I think that's reasonable, at least for me. You know, if you don't have time at all, then you could just check one place and go with it. If you're really, really trying to get the lowest price, then you could spend hours and hours. But as of right now, there is no one website. So the next question is, what are the best times of the day or week to search for a flight? Is there one, you know, best time to make reservations? And I think traditionally or historically, the answer a lot of people gave to this question was, you know, something to do with checking on the internet or calling in, you know, after midnight on Monday or Tuesday, between midnight and 1 a.m. or some strange thing like that, because it had to do with when the airlines loaded their flight schedules. And so if you called in right when the new flight schedules for the next week had been loaded, then you know, obviously no one had purchased those flights, so the fares might be lower. You know, I don't know if that was true years ago. I really don't think it's true now for the most part. Now I think for the most part, you know, the best time to make reservations is as far in advance as you can. So, you know, if you can do 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, or more, you know, there's another cutoff at 30 days and at 60 days, then that's probably better. For the most part, you know, last minute travel is not affordable, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But for the most part, you know, if you have a choice, then you want to make the reservation as far out in advance as you can. Now, one thing to mention is that award reservations or award availability, like if you're looking to use your frequent flyer miles, most airlines will load the availability about 330 days out, so 330 days in advance. So not quite a year, which is usually the longest you can book a flight in advance, a paid flight, but just under a year, around 11 months. It varies by 1 or 2 weeks, depending on the airline. But if you're looking about 330 days out, if you want to book, like, you know, an amazing monster itinerary, you know, international first class ticket to Australia, and you know, or whatever, then, and if you have that much lead time, that's a good time to start looking. And then if you know, don't see anything right away, or if you don't have that much lead time, that's okay, because you know, as the months go by, there is more availability that's released. So there's another cutoff somewhere around 9 or 7 months, depending on the airline. Usually 3 or 6 months, you know, depending on the airline. And then as you get closer, almost every day, there are changes in the availability. So in terms of those reservations, you know, make those reservations, you know, as soon as you can. And if you don't see any availability, then just keep checking back. Okay, next question. How to travel cheaply on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? And someone else said, how can you get the best prices on last minute travel? So, you know, as previously mentioned just now, last minute travel is not usually that cheap. It's usually much better if you have a choice to book in advance. But of course, you may not always have that choice. You may want to get away just for the weekend, or you may not have, you know, the luxury of a lot of lead time. So, in that situation, one thing that can help is instead of just looking for airfare, to look for a package deal, which I don't usually, you know, travel with package deals. But if it's a last minute situation, or like the first person asked, you know, if they want to get away for the weekend or an extended weekend, then it can be a good deal, especially in the economy now, to look for one of these packages that combines air and hotel. and sometimes even a car rental or something else, you know, as part of the package. And there are a few different ways you can do that. You know, I recommend Travelocity for very few things. I'm not a big fan of Travelocity or Expedia or any of those kind of sites. They're basically just, you know, online travel agencies. But in this case, you know, last minute travel and hotel packages, those can be good sources to look for. So both Travelocity and Expedia, you know, offer these, you know, package deals where they take the airfare and they take the hotel and then maybe some other, you know, component that goes in. And that can sometimes be a good option. You can also look in the newspaper, and in the travel section of the newspaper, there's always local agencies or local organizations, or sometimes the airline itself is packaging the hotel together. And one reason why that's interesting now is because so many hotels and resorts are discounting their fees, but they don't want to give the appearance that they're discounting. There are certain high-end hotels that officially never discount, but obviously, you know, when people aren't staying there, they do have to fill the room somehow. So one of the ways they discount it is by including their stay in with some package. So it's not always clear exactly how much the hotel would cost. So you just have to take a look and break it out and see, you know, make sure you're really saving money by purchasing the package, but it can be a good deal. So that's one thing to look at. Question about air courier flights. Can I travel as an air courier? How does that work? Basically, it doesn't work right now. That's another thing that used to work really well. You know, for some people who could travel at short notice and don't check luggage, they could fly for free, or, you know, more likely they could fly for a couple of $100 to Bangkok or London or someplace like that, as long as they agreed to transport cargo or transport documents on behalf of another company. So it's a wonderful idea, and it did work for a while, but with the economy as it is and also security after 9/11, for the most part, you know, traveling as a courier has pretty much died out. Also, just globalization in general, things can move around the world a lot easier. You know, email works as legal documents now, so there's no need to have someone, you know, fly to Hong Kong with your package of papers. So basically, that doesn't work. So if you see something that's advertising, you know, air courier flights, I would probably stay away from that. Question: how to get around fuel surcharges and other fees? So this question came a couple months ago, I think, when fuel prices were still a bit high. They're coming down, but not as low as they are now. So when the price of oil was so high, I think almost $150, almost every airline included a fuel surcharge with the booking, whether that was an award ticket or a paid ticket, you know, or pretty much any way you could book travel, you had to pay a fuel surcharge. And those are coming down now. They're either coming down or being eliminated, which is good, because for a while the price of oil was coming down, but the fuel surcharges were still there. So now if you were booked on a ticket that had an original fuel surcharge, you can call the airline, and they may take that fuel surcharge off. They may not. But, you know, it's worth a call if you booked a ticket a while ago. As for other fees, you know, what I like to say is every fee is negotiable. Sometimes it may not be, really. I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, you're going to be wasting a lot of time. But, you know, whenever I'm confronted with a fee, I'll always ask, like, is there a way around this? Can I, you know, get an exemption or an exception? I don't travel with bags, so it doesn't affect me. But, you know, if you do like to check bags, then you can fly Southwest Airlines or WestJet in Canada. Neither of which charge you to check your bags. You can fly overseas, where you usually get one, you know, checked bag free. You can get elite status, you know, which waives a lot of those fees. But the same thing with a change fee, or, you know, a fee for using the phone. Sometimes you have to pay a fee for calling the airline on the phone, even when there's no way to do what you need to do online. That one always bothers me. I have to pay $25. You know, for the privilege of talking to someone when I would be happy to do it online, but it doesn't work. You know, I always ask. Sometimes they waive it, sometimes they don't, but it's worth asking. Someone says, I know you do a lot of traveling on a shoestring, and thanks for passing along that information. However, your tips have a lot to do with credit cards. Open an account and get this many miles and so forth. I do not possess any credit cards. And when I book travel, I usually do it with a debit card. So I guess the strategies I'm looking for involve not using credit cards to rack up miles. Okay, so great question. My response is, that credit cards are quite easy to rack up the miles. That's one of the things that I do, and I do talk about it because it can be a huge help as long as you have access to credit cards and you're a responsible credit user. I mean, I probably earn more than 200,000 miles every year because of credit card bonuses and different crazy things that I do. But if that's not available to you, if you prefer not to use credit cards, I completely understand. You can also do surveys and registrations. If you get on the email list of the airline, that will help. They'll be sending you out, different promotions from time to time. There's some blogs that I mentioned in the guide. If you look at the last page of the guide, I mentioned a few blogs that I follow on a regular basis. And a couple of those blogs will post, links to the surveys and registrations that you can do every week. And sometimes they're just small little things that just take about a minute of your time and you'll get 1,000 miles. Sometimes there's like a really huge opportunity. I've written about the hair loss consultation before, where I went to go and get a hair loss consultation from, a quasi medical office. And it took about an hour of my time. It was quite hilarious, since I don't really have a problem with hair loss. It took about an hour of my time, and I received 20,000 Delta SkyMiles for it. So that's just one example that didn't require a credit card. And I probably earn, on average, depending on the year and what's going on, I probably earn about 50,000 to 80,000 miles a year just for various bonuses. And most of them don't really require like going downtown to the medical office for a hair loss consultation. Most of them just require doing something online. So I would definitely check that out. Someone says, can you get discounted group fares? I am a Spanish professor and would love to take students to Latin American countries. So my answer, to be completely honest, I don't know a whole lot about group fares. I've never been in a position to do that. I do know a resource that's often mentioned when people talk about group fares. It's Groupel.com, so kind of like Google, but Groupel, Grouple.com. They specialize in group travel. And what I do know in situations like this one, where it's a Spanish professor taking students, if you get enough people to go on the trip, then the leader of the trip will either fly for free, or you can discount the trip across each person who's paying to go. So check that out and let me know if you find out more information about that. Next question: I would like to know how to get a great deal on a Virgin Atlantic or a Virgin America flight, since I've never flown with them before. So, very good question. I'm a big fan of Virgin Atlantic and Virgin America. Actually, I do most of my travel now within the U.S. on American Airlines, and that's just because I have the highest level elite status with them. In terms of the actual service, the soft product, the hard product, I have no doubt that Virgin America is much better. If it was just a question of that, I would be flying Virgin America. And the same thing going across the water. I've been on Virgin Atlantic a couple of times now and absolutely loved it. So the only thing to be aware of is that they're not really part of an alliance. The whole Virgin company kind of stands on its own. It's kind of like Emirates. And so as long as you're okay with that, you just have to do some searching on your own. You probably want to look directly on the Virgin website, either Virgin Atlantic or virginamerica.com. Or I believe there's Virgin Australia and Virgin Nigeria as well, if not more. And just compare those fares with what else you see, because they don't always show up in search engines. From time to time, Virgin and Atlantic has some really incredible fares going on. In fact, the time I'm recording this, if you're listening in the next week or two, they have a fare right now that's just phenomenal. It's like $140 each way to go from London to most cities in the U.S. that they fly to. So basically, you're looking at like $300 if you add in the taxes, like, let's say $400 round trip to go to London. That's economy class. If you want premium economy, which is really good, premium economy is better than any U.S. airline's domestic first class. Premium economy, I think, is like $150 more. And then their upper class, which is just phenomenal, I think is about $1,000, each way. So $2,000 for round trip upper class ticket. And that fare is happening right now. If you just look at their website, virginatlantic.com, you'll see it there. But if you're looking later, you know, don't be in despair, because they have these fare sales probably four or five times a year. They definitely undercut British Airways, definitely undercut United, American, everyone else that's flying across the Atlantic. So go and check them out. You can join their email list. I am a big fan. Someone else wants to know, what is the safest airline? To be honest, I'm really not sure. I think most airlines are safe most of the time. I'm not afraid to fly anywhere. I think historically people said Qantas was one of the safest airlines. It never had a crash. Last year, in 2008, it had a number of problems, a number of safety issues. So I'm not sure people say the same thing about Qantas. But whether that's true or not, you know, most airlines are safe most of the time. As a contrarian, if you know, there was a plane crash, I would bet that the safest airline to fly would be that airline that had just had the crash, because I would just assume that that airline would be so paranoid, you know, after the crash, that they would, you know, be taking even more steps than usual. Also, the fares would be lower because people wouldn't want to fly them anymore, and the loads would be lighter, you know. So for me, if there was an airline that had a problem, you know, as long as I felt, you know, confident or safe about it, then that would be the one that I would go with. But really, I don't worry too much about that. A couple people have questions about Priceline. First question, how to use Priceline.com or similar sites for last minute cheap travel without going through Chicago to get to a destination south of Michigan or east coast of Chicago. Why travel west to go east? And there's a question about hotels, which I'll get to in a second. But yeah, that's the thing with Priceline. When you use Priceline to buy an airline ticket, then you're not in control of the routing. And mostly what they are doing is using legacy carriers like United, which has a very big hub in Chicago. American also has a hub in Chicago. So it's not unusual at all to route you, you know, west before you go east, you know, or vice versa if you're going the other way around. The thing with Priceline.com and your airline tickets is you really have no control over what's going to happen. And so for plane tickets, I don't think Priceline is that great of a deal. What I do like Priceline for is hotels. The next question, you know, I want nice hotels at budget prices, you know, don't we all? In the bigger cities, New York City, San Francisco, Vancouver, Montreal, South Beach, etc. So if you want nice hotels at budget prices, you know, one of the things you can do is use Priceline and read up on it very carefully before you do it. You go to the website bookingbuddy.com or biddingfortravel.com, and you can see, you know, basically all of the hotels that are available to you, you know, when you bid. So I think I talk more about that in the guide. If not, I'll send a long update about it because it's really important. But just in short, I really don't like Priceline for airfare. I do like them for hotels, and I also like them for car rentals because they can be especially cheap. Someone says, I need to know airline seat pitch and legroom before booking because I have a spouse with a severe knee problem. So, you know, the answer everyone gives to a question like this is to check with Seat Guru. Seatguru.com, because there you can see the airline maps and you can see, you know, exactly which seats are best for you on which airline. And so that's fine. It's a good advice. The only problem is that airlines have a habit of changing their aircraft quite frequently. So sometimes you might go and, you know, make a special seat request for certain seats, and then you go to the airport and you see that, you know, your seat requests have been lost because the airline has changed the operating aircraft. So you just have to be aware of that. You know, if you have a condition where you really are very, very concerned about that, then you're probably going to have to buy a business class or a first class ticket to be completely safe. But, you know, if you're just trying to get a better seat, then sure, it's a great resource for that. Someone wants to know about deeply discounted cruises. And this is definitely a time to be looking at that. Right now, the cruise prices are down probably 30% on average compared to the past few years. The cruise industry has been doing very, very well. Even post 9/11, the cruise industry has been, you know, incredibly profitable, much more profitable than the airlines. And so they have been building more and more ships to increase passenger capacity. And now, of course, with the economy as it is, far fewer people are booking their vacations, or they're paying less, or they're just not going on cruises. So this is definitely a good time to look for that. Number of resources. I like to check vacationstogo.com. That's one of the biggest cruise travel agencies. I check Kayak Cruises, which a lot of people are not familiar with. If you just look at kayak, slash cruises, or you just click the cruise tab at the top, they have some interesting filters you can use. let's see what else. I also like cruisecompete.com, which allows a number of travel agents, usually about 10 agencies, to compete or to bid on your business, which is really great because you're anonymous. They don't have your information, but they do have, the cruise that you're interested in, and they will be blindly bidding against each other. So that's an interesting resource that's definitely helped me several times. I would like to know, this person says, I would like to know how to upgrade to business class or first class with ease. Well, this is another one of those, wouldn't we all, questions, because it's not like anyone enjoys sitting in economy class. Everyone wants to, sit in the front of the plane and not pay much money for it. So there are things you can do, but I don't know if it's always with ease. If you want to do it with ease, then you just have to buy a ticket. It's going to be a lot cheaper to do that at the airport usually if there's availability than doing it in advance. You can also, become an elite member, which is not that difficult. I talk about doing the platinum or the gold challenge in the guide. You can also use miles. You can just, book the lowest airfare or sometimes the lowest upgradable airfare and then use miles to upgrade. You can also travel on less popular airlines. That's one thing that might help. If you're traveling internationally, then business class on the less popular airlines will be definitely a lot cheaper than on the nicest airlines. So if you think of the nicest airlines, or at least the legacy airlines, as like British Airways, Cathay Pacific, Singapore Airlines, if you're flying to Europe, then look at Aer Lingus. The business class fare will be probably half, at least, of the fare of British Airways. If you're flying to Asia, then Ava Airways from Taiwan, or Philippine Airways or Airlines. Those business class fares are still going to be more than the economy class fares, but they're going to be a lot less than the legacy carrier. So, that's one thing to look at. Lastly, well, not lastly, but I'm going to wrap it up here and then answer some more questions later. So, lastly for now, someone wants to know how to travel to Cuba. And I'm assuming this is an American asking the question, because if you're a Canadian or European, British, or wherever, it's not really a problem to travel to Cuba. You just buy a ticket and you can fly from the UK. You can fly from Canada, from Mexico, from Jamaica, probably some other destinations as well. Those are the main ones. And it's not a problem at all. If you're an American, it's also not really a problem to go to Cuba. It's just a problem to come back. Because Cuba welcomes everyone. You can ask them not to stamp your passport, and they will refrain from doing so. They'll stamp it on a card and give you the card, and then you just show the card when you leave, and then you can throw away the card. The problem comes when you come back to the United States because of the current embargo. So there are a number of things you can do about that. You can get permission. You can get a journalistic or humanitarian visa to go, academic school exchange. You can just decide to go and treat that as your ethical choice. Like, you want to travel to Cuba, or you don't agree with the embargo, then you just go to Mexico or Canada and then fly there. Just be careful about having your passport scanned, because then the U.S. will have a record of that when you get back. So anyway, hopefully that will change soon with the new administration. We will see. Great. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up now. This is the idea here is this is kind of a fluid conversation. I'd be very happy to continue it. So if you liked this, if you felt like you learned something from it, if you have any questions, or you feel like something was not totally clear, if you need any further info, feel free to write in. I really like to hear suggestions as well. So, if I hear enough suggestions, then I'll do another audio session, no charge. So just write into ninja at unconventionalguides.com. That's the email address I set up specifically for this product, and I'll take your feedback and your tips, suggestions. So ninja at unconventionalguides.com. So thanks again. I really appreciate your support. I hope this has been helpful, and I hope to see you somewhere around the world. Take care.